We've been teaching on the subject of sovereignty, and we're into, I think, the seventh or eighth week, I can't remember. But this is the third week we're actually dealing with healing and the sovereignty of God, or the sovereignty of God and healing. And I think by now we have conclusively proved from Scripture that it is undoubtedly God's will to heal the sick. And in fact, we know, we go back to the redemption of the cross, and that we find that Jesus already paid for it 2,000 years ago. So it's a done deal. It's fait accompli. It's done. And we have to believe God and tap into what has already been provided for us. So the question is, why aren't more people healed? Why aren't more people healed? This is a big deal. We see a lot of sick people, a lot of sick Christians, and we ask the question, how come people are not more often healed? And the scripture really explains it to us. It's because of a lack of knowledge. And so the responsibility falls at our feet as believers. We have to bear the responsibility for this, because Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So what is the knowledge that we are lacking? First of all, we lack the knowledge of what we received at our redemption. We lack the knowledge of the great and precious promises of the Word of God. We also lack the knowledge of Jesus' power and authority, and we also lack the knowledge of what Jesus gave us in the form of authority and of power. And last week, we looked a little bit at the authority of Jesus' name. This morning, I'm going to focus on the authority that Jesus gave us. So the authority of the believer is what we're going to be looking at, and I'm specifically talking about healing, all right? So for those of you who are not aware of our personal circumstances, as you know, Jackie had a stroke 20 years ago, and we have, by faith, kept her alive these 20 years. She walks by faith every single day of her life. You know, just to let you know, she only has half a brain. The left brain is completely gone. There's nothing there. And so she shouldn't be able to talk. She shouldn't be able to walk. She shouldn't be able to eat. She shouldn't be able to see. And all of those things are occurring simply by faith. We're trusting God. Well, more recently, about 8 months ago, she contracted an illness that we had no idea what it was. And it wasn't until this week that it was diagnosed as myasthenia gravis. And it's very simply what happens is antibodies are produced in your body, and what it does, they cover the receptors of your muscle. So when your nerve sends a signal to your muscle to react, there's this antibody sitting like a hat over the receptor. Now the muscle can't react. And those few receptors that do react, obviously a very small percentage of your muscle is working. So you tire very quickly, and so fatigue is one of the problems that you face. And what happened is that the fatigue set in into her upper chest area, which meant she couldn't breathe. The muscles wouldn't allow her to breathe. And on top of that, she then got an RSV, which is a breathing virus that was going around. Everybody was getting it, a terrible thing. It lasts 4 to 6 weeks, coughing vehemently, deeply, phlegm, on top of an inability to breathe from the virus. We didn't know what it was, but I saw the deterioration in her body and the weakness. She stopped being able to walk with a cane. She started walking her arm, and eventually she was in a wheelchair, confined to a wheelchair. And then she was eventually on oxygen, and we had to take her to ER 6 or 7 times. Paramedics would call 3 times because she was at the point of death, literally death. And when they finally admitted her to hospital, she was only getting 30% air, not oxygen, air. So when you're sucking 100%, she was getting 30% just air. And on top of that, she was coughing, she was literally, the breathing rate had gone to 34 times per minute. In other words, she's breathing like this, which did not allow her to eat, because you can't eat between breaths. She couldn't swallow. She lost 13 pounds in weight. Okay, we didn't know what was wrong. Doctors couldn't find out what was wrong, so they discharged us. Every time we went to ER, they discharged us. We went to hospital for a week, and they discharged us. Didn't know what was wrong. We went to the second hospital for another week, and then a blood work came up and showed this illness. So, now we know the name of the spirit or the sickness that we're dealing with. Okay, so we know the name. And we know that Jesus said that we can speak to our mountain and the mountain would move if we believe in our heart. So we got word on it. We got tremendous amount of word where Jesus is the word and he was sent to the earth and healed us. And God's word cannot fail. We got tremendous amount of word. He watches over his word to perform it. So now we have the doctor's word. But let me just say to you this. The first report is not the last report. And Jesus is the beginning and the end. And he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. And so my faith is in the last report. My faith is in the one who is watching it over his word to perform it. Even though we know what we're dealing with, we're not moved by what we see. We're moved by what we believe in Jesus' name. We move by what we believe. And so this is so important. I'm sharing with you just in case you think, well, Pastor never goes through any issues. So, yes, we do. We go through the same issues that you go through. And I know that some of you think, well, how could you be preaching on healing when your wife is going through all this stuff? It's exactly the time I should be preaching on healing. Because I'm preaching to me and to my wife. You guys can listen if you want to. Okay? But I'm assured of one thing. I'm assured of one thing. Since, now listen carefully, our bodies are not redeemed. Let me just wait and let you think about that. Okay? Because our bodies are going to be finally changed and be glorified, and the bodies are subject to what's going on in the world. So our bodies age. If it was redeemed, you wouldn't age. Okay? So your spirit man is redeemed. Your body is not. That's why you have to use your faith for healing and keeping your body healthy, as well as a good diet. Okay? Let's not forget that. Diet is critical. Some of you are sick today because of your diet. And if you would just change your diet, and maybe we should start introducing right after the offering a 5-minute teaching on how to eat. And I think we get a lot of people healed. And maybe we'll point Cindy to start teaching on what you should eat. How many know you shouldn't eat gluten? Only 4 of you. We started that next week, Cindy. Okay, so I used to think gluten, what is that? It doesn't really matter. I'm going to stuff myself with bread. I love it. You pay a lot more for that bread than you think. Anyway, now I'm meddling. Let's get back to the word. I wanted to say that to you because I can empathize with you if you're going through something, or you have been through something, or it's been an extended period, or if you have to face something in the future. Listen carefully, because I promise you these last 3 sermons, including today, might be the most important sermons you ever hear. All right? You ever hear. Your life depends on you knowing what I'm teaching. You're not just in church to please God. All right. So, the authority that has been given to us by Jesus, authority of believers. What I want to do is, first of all, I want to go back and I want to show you the authority was given to us, given to the apostles. Because I've heard this said, well, you know, the apostles had all the authority and they went around healing the sick and so on and so forth. But when they died, that finished with them. So we know that is not true because we see it throughout Scripture. But I want to go and show you in Scripture where, in fact, Jesus gave the apostles the authority. In Matthew 10 and verse 1, it's also found in other places. But in Matthew 10 and verse 1, Scripture goes like this. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. What amazes me is the first thing he gave them power over was unclean spirits, over demons. He first of all said, I'm going to give you power over demons. And then he said, I'm giving you power to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Did you notice he didn't say, I'm giving you authority to pray to me and I'll heal them? Do you notice what he said? He said to the apostles, I'm giving you the power and authority to heal the sick. Do you see that in the scripture? So Jesus gave men the power at that point, called apostles, to heal the sick. But wait, there's more. It didn't stop there. Let's keep reading. We're going to drop down to verse 7. As you go, Jesus said, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Now, I'm not really good at English, but those 3 words I could understand. heal the sick. See, one of the things that we're having difficulty with as believers under the new covenant at this time is that we keep praying and asking God to heal the sick. But here we see Jesus telling the apostles, heal the sick. He didn't say, ask me. He sent them out and he said, you heal the sick. Awful quiet in the synagogue. Then he said, cleanse the lepers. And then he said, raise the dead. He told them to raise the dead. Well, what if it wasn't God's will? What if God killed that person because they had done enough wickedness and it was time to leave? What if God wanted them in heaven and he took them? Am I smelling smoke in your head? Any brains on fire? You see, those are thoughts, those are false doctrines that get put out there. Well, God took them. It was God's will for them to die. Well, then how would Jesus contradict God's will by telling his disciples, raise the dead? It doesn't matter how old they are, or when they died, or how they died. Just raise them. God doesn't need them in heaven. He wants them on earth. Thank you for those 3 a.m.s in the front. Would you sit in the front every week? We appreciate it. Thank you. Raise the dead, cast out demons. Again, cast out demons. Now here is the clincher. This is why. Freely you have received, freely give. Everything you have received from God, you received because you were worthy. You received because you had earned it. You received it because you were God's favorite. Because he had chosen you. Huh? Because of the color of your skin. Because you were born in America. Why? Why did you receive it? What does the word freely mean? Freely means freely. It means God's grace. God's grace. Didn't earn it, didn't deserve it, God's grace. You freely received it. And since you freely received it, he wants you to do what? Freely give it. There it is. He's saying, listen, you didn't pay for it, you didn't earn it, you weren't worthy, and you're never going to be worthy. So when you face a sick person, go, oh God, I'm going to fast and pray and take communion every 3 hours, and then I'll read the Bible for 6 hours a day, and when I'm worthy, I'll pray for them. Ain't going to happen. You're going to wear your knees out. Nothing's going to happen. Because your worthiness is in him. You freely received your worthiness because of the blood of Jesus by his grace. And so you're ministering to the sick, not because you're worthy, but because freely you have received authority from him in the name of Jesus. One of the things the devil loves to do is like to point out your faults just before you're going to pray for the sick. Well, you can't do it. Power can't flow through you because you're not worthy. Well, never going to be worthy. Never going to be worthy. Now, Jesus also gave the same authority and power to 70 additional people. Not the original 12, but 70 additional people. Their names are not even mentioned in the Bible. Luke 10 and verse 1, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them out 2 by 2 before his face to every city and place where he himself was to go. And he said to them, heal the sick that are there. What? He said to the 70. What did he say to the 70? Heal the sick. He didn't say pray for them. He said heal the sick that are there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. Verse 17, the 70 returned with joy. They only got one convert, all 70 of them. Her name was Joy. And 71 came back. Hallelujah. That was victorious. That was a great outreach, wasn't it? Saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. The first thing they say is, look, even the demons are subject to us. And he said to him, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, now this is a great scripture. We love to quote this scripture. I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. What do you think serpents and scorpions mean? Demonic forces. It's not talking about real serpents and scorpions. It's talking about demonic forces. And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. So, when something gets fired at you, when a fiery dart gets fired at you from Satan, as is what's happening with us, I quote the scripture, my shield of faith given to me by the Lord is adequate enough to quench this fiery dart. He has given me power and authority over all evil forces, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. Yeah. But you say, it is. It is hurting you. But it's not the last report. Because we're standing against this thing. It is trying to take us down, but it will not succeed in the name of Jesus. Because we're fighting the good fight of faith. That's what it's about. You've got to fight the good fight of faith. You have to quote scriptures just like this. Nothing shall any means hurt you. Now, if that wasn't enough, he's done 12, he's expanded to 70. Now Jesus expands this authority to all believers, to every single believer. And it's called the Great Commission. And it's found in Mark 16 and verse 4. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. So, the thing that was, imagine this, there's 11, they're hiding in this room, they're afraid, Jesus risen from the dead, he comes in and he hugs them. Oh boys, I missed you so much while I was in hell. All I could think about was your friendship while I was down there suffering, thought about you the whole time, love you guys, love you, love you. No, no, he didn't say, boys, how are you doing? He says, listen guys, what is it about this unbelief and hardness of heart? How come you don't believe when people came to tell you that I had risen from the dead? I told you I was going to rise from the dead. Good morning to you too. That was his greeting. His greeting was he was upset because they didn't believe. Do you think that's true today? Do you think that's true? You think the risen Savior is so happy with us when we don't believe or we have hardness of heart, the fact that he has risen from the dead and given us all this power and authority. And we go, well, I'm not so sure that I've got that much assured. If you want to hear what he's saying to you right now, it's not good morning. Then he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. It's all about believing. Verse 17, he says, and these signs will follow those who believe. If you're a believer this morning, would you raise your hand, please? I'm looking for people. I need to call for the altar call. That's what I'm looking for. Okay, so we got all our hands up. Okay, so if you're a believer this morning, these signs should follow you according to what Jesus said. He said, these signs will follow those who believe. But now I want to, you know, it says in my name they will cast out demons. Very first thing, cast out demons. And then they will speak with new tongues. The first two things that the majority of the church doesn't do. The great omission. Oh, sorry, commission. Cast out demons? Nah, we'll lose people if we do that. Well, maybe the demons will go and the people will stay. Mm, yeah. Subtle. All right. Then you will speak with new tongues, not forked tongues. Not at two sides of your mouth at the same time. New tongue is Holy Spirit language. First two things, right off the top. Now, you'll take up serpents, it's not talking about grabbing snakes. And if they drink any deadly thing, in other words, if you eat in the restaurants in America, you better pray over your food. Never mind going overseas, boy, you better pray here. It will by no means hurt them. then they will lay hands on the sick and they will all die. The sick will do what?
Recover.
Come on, shout it out.
Recover.
Again.
Recover.
One more time.
Recover.
All right, no need to shout. Okay, so the sick will recover. The sick will recover. So you lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now let's go back to the beginning. Verse 14, he said, verse 17. These signs will follow those who believe. Then he says, in my name they will cast out. Now remember last week I told you there's no punctuation. There's no punctuation in the original Greek. There's no capitalization, beginning, end of sentences. There's no chapters and verses. So I'm going to take liberty today, and I'm going to change the semicolon. I believe it's called a semicolon. Colon? Okay, just a colon. Huh. The semicolon's after demons. Okay. All right. So these signs will follow those who believe. Then it says in my name. Let's take out the colon and then read it like this and put the colon after my name. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. Colon. And that changes everything. Because you see, there's a lot of believers who believe in Jesus, but they don't believe in the power of the name. So they say, they're going, well, in my name they will do this, in my name they will do that, in my name. There's a lot of people doing things in his name, building houses in different countries in his name, charities in his name. But that's not what this is talking about. This is saying, if you believe in his name, you will do these things. And that's what I'm telling you. You've got to believe in the authority of the name of Jesus. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. Because it's not your power, it's not your authority, it's his, it's been delegated to you. So it's for all believers. In 2015, I met a man by the name of David Bishop. He was a retired Marine Corps first sergeant. He'd been 20 years in the service and a powerful, powerful evangelist at the Marine Corps. In fact, over 250,000 Marines had heard him preach, and thousands upon thousands upon thousands had come to know the Lord through his teachings and testimonies. He administered to them on base. Now, he was a Baptist, and he was a really good Baptist. Okay, so he didn't believe in healing or in the infilling of the Holy Spirit. But he was getting people saved. All right, he was really getting people saved. So I got to meet with him, and a wonderful man. And we had the pleasure of fellowshipping one day. It was year 2015. We went to lunch together and we were talking. And he was talking about, you know, what he believed and what we believe and stuff. And I said to him, I got a word from the Lord for you. You're going to have a healing ministry. Well, that's harsh to say to somebody who's a Baptist who doesn't believe in it. Yeah, he's going to have a healing ministry. Well, 3 weeks later, here at Fallbrook, he went to get his mail. He got out of his truck. 8,500-pound truck, and the thing started to roll away, and he tried to jump in. He missed the door, fell down, slipped, and the truck rolled right over him, right over him. Well, they airlifted him into Palomar ER, and they called his senior commander, who phoned me and said, would you pray for him? The moment I got this call, I just shouted out, in the name of Jesus, he will live and not die. I command the bleeding to stop. I said, Holy Spirit, rise up within him and produce a healing and a cure right now in Jesus' name. That's what I said. I mean, I shouted it out on the phone. That was my prayer. It wasn't a prayer. That wasn't a prayer. I was speaking something immediately into that situation. Well, when he arrived, they x-rayed him. There were surgeons waiting to immediately do life-saving surgery. They found that his pelvis had been broken in four places. The bones had parted, and seven of his ribs had been broken and has now been out of place. The truck rolled right across here, so it broke his shoulder as it went over him and broke his left ankle. So he was in a lot of trouble. They were going to operate, but they said, we'll wait until the morning before they operate. Well, they came and re-ran the x-rays in the morning, come to find out that the pelvis had come together, had knitted, and they said, we won't need to operate. All seven ribs had moved back into place and had come together. And his shoulder and his ankle had somehow moved together, and no operations were necessary. They were shocked. They didn't know what to do. They were shocked. So I went to visit him the next day. And unfortunately, he was so drugged up and so asleep, he couldn't speak to me. So I left him our Bible college notes on healing. Because if you're going to learn to believe, that would be a good start. But he was dismissed a week later without having read them. So I called him. I said, listen, I want to come and visit you at your home. And he said, no, don't you do it. I said, I'm coming to visit. And I'm coming to pray for you. And you're going to complete this healing. So when I went, I took everything I could. I took oil. I took cloths. I took my hands. I took the word. And I took the Bible school notes. I went to visit him. And I read the word of God to him for 1 hour. He wasn't going anywhere. I read everything about healing. I used our Bible college notes. I read everything about healing to him. And then I said, now I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to lay my hands on you, and I'm going to anoint the cloth with oil. And I used peppermint oil so it could really smell and stay smelling for a long time. And I said, I'm going to leave it with you. Yeah, okay, Pastor Henry, go ahead, I'm ready. And I ministered, I laid hands upon him, laid the cloth upon him, and I spoke healing, declared him healed in the name of Jesus. And I left. 3 days later, I called him. I said, I'll come visit you. How are you doing? He said, well, you know, the pain left. And I'm walking around the home. I said, okay. So I'll come and visit you then in a few days. He said, yeah, do that. 6 weeks later, he was jogging. No operations needed. Completely healed. Why do I say this? I'm sharing this because, you see, he staggered mentally, emotionally at the word of God, even though it was clear in black and white. And we do the same thing. We stagger at what's been given to us and the authority that's been given to us and the instructions that have been given to us. We go, that can't be true. It must be that Jesus is we must invoke Jesus. It's got nothing to do with us. Jesus is using your hands and your feet and your mouth. The Holy Spirit is working through you. We've got to get understand it. All right. But wait, there's more. There would be enough if you stopped there. But Jesus goes on and says something else. Come with me to John chapter 14 and verse 12. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me. Here we go again. He who believes in me, he who believes in my name. The works that I do, he will do also. How readest thou? The works that I do, Jesus said, if you believe in me, you will do also. Well, that would be enough. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on and he said, and greater works than these he will do. Even greater works than I've been doing. You go, hold your horses. I haven't even got to where you are. It's because of our unbelief, and it's because of the lack of knowledge of the Word of God, the lack of knowledge of the authority and the power of the name of Jesus, the lack of knowledge of what we received in the redemption, the lack of knowledge of what's been given to us in the way of power of authority in Jesus. That's the reason we're staggering at the great and precious promises. But he says, because I go to my Father. They're going to do greater works because I go to my Father. Well, what is going to his Father got to do with us doing greater works? Because he said, I can't send you the Holy Spirit unless I go to my Father. But when I go to my Father, he will send you another comforter. And when he comes, you will have power, exousia, dunamis, go out and be witnesses. It was the coming of the Holy Spirit in us and on us that enabled us to do what Jesus did. Jesus never did one miracle until he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. It was when he was baptized in water, he came out, then the Holy Spirit came upon him, and that's when his miracle ministry began. Jesus went around doing good because he was anointed. God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Do you understand? It's the Holy Spirit on you and in you that is doing the work through you. If you believe in the name of Jesus, it allows the Holy Spirit that ability to move through you. He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can ask or even think, according to the power at work in you. You missed a good place to say amen. But too late now. You gotta be ahead of me. Don't be waiting for me to say amen. Amen. Now, he hadn't finished. Listen to this. He hasn't finished. He says, "And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." That would have to include healing. But notice, if you go back and look at the Greek word, the word therefore ask is actually the word demand. And I don't think the translators could put it in. That's why they went for the word ask. Because you see, we're not demanding from God. We're demanding circumstances to change in his name. By the delegated authority we've been given, the power of Jesus' name, we're exercising the power and authority we've got. And therefore, we command the mountain to move. Therefore, we demand in Jesus' name, you come out, you demon, you have no right to be there. Do you understand the difference? And that's what I said when David had that injury. I spoke in the name of Jesus and commanded healing. There's a difference. All right, let me finish off with one more story. Can you handle one more story? All right, it's found in the Bible. Disciples use the name of Jesus. I want to show you this in Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Little silly joke here. Man was lame, but he was asking for alms. Just a silly joke. Verse 3. Okay, ignore it. Delete it from there. Okay. Verse 3. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them attention, expecting to receive something. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you." Peter claimed possession. He claimed possession. He says to the blind man, "Look at me." Can you put that down just for a moment? And look at me. Give it to Jenny. You should have been focusing. Peter says to the lame man, "Look at me." He wants his attention. He's looking at him. So everything else in the room, shut it out. Stop thinking about everything else. You see, if we're going to get our healing, we're going to have to really focus. We're going to have to focus. Now, Peter wants to administer the anointing of God to him, and he doesn't want him thinking about the steak he's going to have after church or where he's going to eat after church. He doesn't want him thinking about other things. He wants him focusing on what's going to happen right now. So he gets his attention, and he says, "I don't have silver and gold." And he goes, "Aw." And he says, "Forget the silver and gold. I'm going to give you something that I have." And he says, "But I need silver and gold." He says, "No, you don't need silver and gold. You actually need healing." Wait, this man is not thinking about healing. He's been lame since his birth. He's not thinking about healing. He doesn't even know that there's a possibility of being healed. But he says, "What I've got, I'm going to give you." So listen, church, Until we take ownership of the name of Jesus, until we take ownership of the authority that's been given to us, until we take ownership of the power that's in us, we will not be able to administer it. So he says, look at me, and he says, what I've got, I'm going to give you. And then he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up. And the man doesn't rise up. Should have been listening. Okay. The man does not rise up. He says to him, you rise up. I've got lame legs. That's what's going through his mind. If you ask me to rise up, you've got to be kidding with me. You see, he didn't rise, and then the Bible says this. Peter took him by the hand, and he pulled him up. Now, unless you've got the faith, you're going to have a lot of people falling out of their wheelchairs on their face. But you see, it was after Jesus' name was administered, and then the power was released, and then Peter acted on what he had said because he believed what he said. And he said, rise up. And then immediately, thank you, my brother. All right. Then the Bible says healing and strength came to him. Watch this. He took him by the right hand and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankles received strength. The strength came after he was raised up by Peter. What was Peter doing? He was exercising the authority and the power that he knew that he had in Jesus. He knew that healing had been provided through Jesus, and if he would believe in the name of Jesus and believe in that authority he's been given, then he could tell this man, be healed and rise up. And you see, you wouldn't do that because you'd be sued in America if he fell. So what's going on in the church is we've been pressured by the law, we've been pressured by unbelievers, so we've now reached the place where we are afraid to exercise any kind of ministry, and so we do it very timidly, and we're not operating in the power and authority. And I leave you with this thought, that the reason more people are not healed is because we, the church, is not operating in what we should be operating in. Let's finish this story. Verse 12. So Peter, when they saw Peter, he responded to the people. This, by the way, he leaped and jumped. Verse 18, he was leaping and jumping and everything, shouting and he went into the temple. And then the people responded, and they said, where they saw this happen, and Peter speaks to the people, said, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Why do you look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness, worthiness, we made this man walk? It wasn't. Verse 15, I'm dropping down. You killed the Prince of Life whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. Verse 16, and his name, through faith in his name. Did Jesus not say that? If you believe in my name, if you believe in my name. So in his name, the name of Jesus, and through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of us all. Notice something, one more thing. Peter did not pray for that man to be healed. You've got to see that. You see, because a lot of people say, well, Peter prayed for the lame man in front of the gate. No, he didn't. He didn't ask, Father God, in Jesus' name, would you heal? He didn't say, Jesus, would you heal? He didn't say, gracious, merciful God, have mercy on this lame man. Do what you can, if it be thy will. But if not, leave him in this condition. There must be a reason. There must be a reason of famous words tacked behind something that's gone wrong, because people can't understand the word of God or won't understand the word of God. There must have been a reason. Must have been a reason God left him. No, not at all. Peter did not consult God on the issue. He did not ask, God, is it your sovereign will that this man be healed? or stay lame? Is there sin in his life? What has he done wrong? What did his parents do wrong? There's got to be something wrong here. Why would this come upon him? Surely, you're trying to teach him something. We don't know the reason. No? He didn't ask any of those questions. He commanded, what I've got, I'm giving to you, commanding you to rise up now in the name of Jesus and then stand up. Do you see the difference, church? All right. God bless you. Thank you. We'll end there.